For the fans, by the fans, this is the non-league football show and the last of the season, or at least the last formal show until August, although there may well be some ad hoc updates in between. I'm Tim Fuel, bringing you a slightly shorter show than usual as I went on a trip to Wembley. No, not for the non-league finals day, although what a couple of games they turned out to be. But the world premiere of the biggest film about non-league football since, well, whatever. More about that later. But first, some news. Some exciting player transfers this week, with players stepping up to the Football League from non-league. Salford City defender Michael Nottingham, he signed for Blackpool, and Bromley's Louis Dennis leaves the South London outfit to join Portsmouth. Meanwhile, England C defender Louis John, he's left Sutton United to join Cambridge United on a two-year deal, and Gateshead goalkeeper James Montgomery, he stepped into the pro game with Forest Green Rovers. In other news, 2 years after a previous attempt was washed out, Giuseppe Sole will finally get his testimonial match at Woking. The striker left the Cards in 2016, having played 352 times for the club, netting 111 goals. AFC Wimbledon will now be the visitors to Woking for the match on the 10th of July, as new Woking manager Alan Dowson begins to build his squad. Some other good news comes from the United Counties League, where it looks like Buckingham Town, who previously resigned at the end of the season from Step 5, may be back to fight another day, or at least even another season. Their resignation has been retracted, and that retraction has been accepted by the league as the club look to put together a new committee to bring the club back to life. There should also be more news for Step 5 and Step 6 clubs ahead of the bank holiday weekend too, although after the recording of this show, with the FA expected to announce the format of divisions below Steps 1 to 4. Now, there's been plenty of managerial movements again this week too. In the wake of uncertainty about the future of Dagenham and Redbridge, John Steele has left the Daggers to join and take up the first team manager role at newly relegated Barnet in the National League. Old friend of the show, Gary McCown, now he came so close to promotion with his Hendon side missing out in the playoffs on penalties, he's moved on for a new challenge, filling the vacancy at Hampton and Richmond Borough. In at Frome Town comes Danny Greaves, and at Belper Town, former Ossett Town manager Grant Black takes up the reins. Gavin McPherson becomes the new manager at Met Police, and there are more joint managerial appointments too. At Fleet Town, new joint managers come in the form of Simon Horney and Martin Gray, and at Margate, Steve Brown and Mike Sandman are the new joint bosses. At King's Lynn, the new management team have been unveiled too. Simon Clark, assisted by Sam Gorin. And at Stainstown, as well as a 10-year plan, the new owners have unveiled a new coaching team of head coach Christian Colas, assisted by Stuart Bimson and Albert Martinez. And of course, on non-league finals day on Sunday, we saw Stockton Town losing 1-0 to Thatcham Town, who won the FA Vase. Congratulations to them. And the FA Trophy game went all the way to penalties after Brackley Town equalised in the dying minutes of the game to bring the score to 1-1 after full time and after extra time. Brackley Town winning 5-4 on penalties. Congratulations to them, the new FA Trophy winners. So, as I mentioned in the news there, the managerial merry-go-round is in full swing. Last week, we reported that having narrowly failed at keeping Whitehawk in the National South, Steve King had left the South Coast outfit. This week, we can report that Mr. King is back in football. The new boss at Welling United, also in the National South. Perhaps a penchant for clubs beginning with W then, Mr. Steve King.
Never even thought about that.
A great opportunity. How did it come about?
I had a number of calls from different clubs, from as far as up north, across the Midlands. I had sort of four or five conversations, and to be fair, it was four offers. So I met with the nearest one south to me that I felt was the right one. Had a meeting, and after coming out of that meeting, I felt it was a club that wanted to really try and achieve something.
Yeah, and I mean, they narrowly missed out on promotion last term. Does that give you a decent foundations to build upon?
They actually finished ninth last year, so they didn't quite make the playoffs, which is obviously the top seven. But what I would say is they finished ninth and wasn't quite good enough to get in the playoffs at that point. But the league this year coming is going to be really, really strong. Probably as strong as it's ever been since the competition started. So I will have to improve the squad. There is some good players there, but I definitely would have to improve the squad to have a chance of making the playoffs.
And Whitehawk, obviously, you got so close, but it was so much of a gap that you were already adrift. Yeah. when you first came in. Does it help that you've got the whole of the summer now to build that team as you're trying to build this Welling side?
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, when you look at that, the Whitehawk situation, I went in there on 1 or 2 points, and you know, I had to get rid of the whole team. It took 9 games to get rid of 17 players, which I did. 12 of them were on contract, which I helped them all find clubs. Got rid of 17 players by Christmas, and then New Year's Day, when we grew, we never looked back, really, and got 34 points second half of the season, which is quite an incredible achievement, considering it was only Dartford and Haven that got more points in those 4 months. With the top scorers in the league as well. So the achievement to do that was quite... I thought was quite astonishing. Really, the gap was just too massive in the first place.
And obviously, we know that your experience at non-league from the years that we've had you on the show. But there's that extra experience of last year of this division. Is that going to help you? You know, pick new players, bring new people in for this season, or are you looking maybe even higher to bring some players down to your level to help you get the playoffs?
To be fair, I look all over the spectrum. I'm higher, same level, lower than that. People that got a chance to make it as a pro, you take them, give them an opportunity. But I do know the league inside out. You know, I have come first and second in the division, and third, fourth, and fifth, and four playoffs, etc., etc. So I do know the level probably, you know, as good as anybody, if not better. So I know what it will take to achieve that. Obviously, like I said, there's a lot of very good teams in it this year. That and there's a lot of teams that got money this year, and you know, we're going to have a real good go. I know a few of those, you know, because I speak to managers all the time, and you know what budgets are and that. And yeah, it's going to be a tough ask to make them top seven, but I back myself and the group that I put together to try and achieve that.
And what about the... you know, your targets? Have you been given targets by the board there? Have you got your own personal targets? Is it the playoffs, or are you aiming higher than that?
No, I mean, you know me, we've known each other a long, long time, and I just, for me, I've been set no targets whatsoever, but as a manager, you've got to have your own targets, and my target would be the playoffs. I've never not been in the playoffs in that division when I've started the season. Like I said, you know, I've got the best record of any manager in that division ever. So for me, I set my own targets, and I don't mean that, you know. If I don't achieve them, then I feel like I failed as a manager. But there's been no targets set by the board or anybody like that. I just want to have a real good season, play entertaining football the way we do, and put bums on seats, really, and have a right good go.
Yeah, you mentioned that it's going to be it's already going to be a tough division next season. Yeah, looking at some of the names of the clubs that are already there. How do you think this level of football has changed since, you know, when you first got involved at this level? Is it more physical? Is it more creative? Or is it just about the same?
I think it's more quality players have dropped down divisions because they come from League Two. They have to find somewhere. They go conference players, then have to find somewhere. They go Conference South. So on and so on. It's a filter, but I'm just saying this year particularly is the strongest ever. When the competition started in 2002-03, something like that, you always had, when we won the division at Lewis, we won it by sort of 9 points to Eastbourne, and then the next team were 15 points away, then 21 points away. So it was a two horse race at that time. But you can just look around at the league. Last year, I felt, was the time, if you're going to get out, it was to get out. And I think, obviously, haven't got out, and Braintree. I think that was the year to get out, when it was, everyone was similar. But this year coming, you know, the likes of Woking, Torquay, Billericay in there, Dartford, Chelmsford, you know, Dulwich have come up with big support. You know, there's a lot of good teams in there. Wealdstone, you know, finances have been properly back this year, and even Concord, they've signed 11 players already. So I think across the board, it's going to be a hell of a division.
And are there anyone in particular that you think is going to stand out, or you just think it's just strong as a whole division? You mentioned plenty of clubs there. Is there one standout club, do you think?
Well, you've got to look at the clubs that have come down, like Woking. They're going to have a go, and they've got the potential to get 1,500 people, 2,000 people in their game. You've got Torquay, obviously, come down, and you know, you've always got to look at those. You've got to look at Billericay coming up. You know, they've got the finances to do what they want, really, as in player wise. But it's not always the money that does it. You know, you recruit, you get them clever in the market, get the right players, get the right blend. As Braintree have shown this year, they didn't have the biggest budget, and to make it through the playoffs and, you know, beat Dartford and beat Hampton, I think that, you know, there's a great job done over there on not a big budget. So it swings and roundabouts, but like I said, this year it's going to be very, very tough. And it's going to be one standout team. I think everyone could beat everyone in that division, but sort of 10 teams, 11 teams, 12 teams that fancy the playoffs.
You're obviously going to focus on the field stuff, but we've spoken to Welling a couple of times already through this season. They've got plans to develop, the whole ground and everything around there. Was that also part of the sell for you?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. I felt that it was a club that wanted to move on, and it's not going to happen overnight. I get that, and you know, it could be a 2-3 year project where new stadiums being talked about and things like that. So, yeah, it's long term for me.
Well, Steve, thank you for joining us. There was a sort of an odd, eerie silence in non-league for a few days. We weren't sure where you were going to pop up, but it's going to have you back involved, and we look forward to speaking to you early next season as well. Good luck, mate.
Brilliant. Thank you. Take care. Bye bye.
So how best to round off another great season of the beautiful game at grassroots level? But what about a trip to Wembley Stadium to see a world film premiere? In fact, a premiere about the passion us fans hold for our non-league club. Step forward, the Bromley Boys, based on the original book by Dave Roberts and based loosely on his life, or at least his life as a Bromley FC supporter in season 1969 to 1970. The film, soon to be on general release, stars actor-comedian Alan Davis and former EastEnders star and singer Martine McCutcheon. Down at the green carpet event, you see what they did there, I caught up with an old friend of the show and the man that without whom none of it would have happened, author Dave Roberts. Now, Dave, when you first wrote the book, or did you ever dream that you'd end up at Wembley?
No, I thought it'd be read by a couple of hundred people at best. It's a pretty niche book, really, isn't it?
Non-league football is what we all love. Do you still manage to get along to games and enjoy that passion of smelling the grass? And
I love it because you're so close to the pitch with some of the smaller grounds. It's just, it does feel like real football to me.
And do you think this whole film might open up a new generation of non-league football fans?
That's a really good question. Yeah, I really hope it does. I mean, it captures the spirit to me of non-league football, even though it's set, 50-odd years ago. It's sort of, I think a lot of non-league fans will be able to relate to it.
And, there's elements where it shows, us non-league fans, we're a little bit quirky.
Yeah.
But in a good way.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you go to any non-league game and there are fairly eccentric characters. And when I was writing my last book, I went to Old Trafford so I could compare the experience of watching a Premier League game with a non-league game. And you just get completely different people going to Premier League games as you do to non-league games.
So, obviously, this has been a fantastic success. You're still an author elsewhere, but is there a follow-up to the Bromley Boys, this season with the FA Trophy trip?
It's very funny you should say that, but yeah, there is a book which I'm working on at the moment, which is about always dreaming of my club playing at Wembley and finally getting there after 50 years of watching them. Of course, being Bromley, there's no happy ending. 21 seconds from the end, we conceded an own goal and it all went wrong from there, which is very Bromley.
So, advocate of game's finishing on the 88th minute now.
I am. I think we've lost so many games in the last minute this season. They should cut it down to 88 minutes a game.
Well, fantastic occasion at Wembley. Enjoy your film.
Thank you very much. Hope you enjoy it as well.
One of the most memorable characters in the film is Chairman Charlie McQueen, played by another former EastEnders star, Jamie Foreman, who seems to relish the opportunity of getting his teeth into this role. Don't always have the greatest reputations, particularly in the non-league game.
Warranted. Yeah. And I did everything I can to perpetuate that same attitude. Yeah. I hope.
Any particular chairman that you'd base your...
Oh, I couldn't definitely not say that. No, I'll be right in trouble. I mean, we've done our own thing with him. You know, we sort of I brought a little bit of myself to him and the sort of way I saw him off the page and what I thought the writers wanted. But he's loosely based. Yeah.
I mean, I've been involved with non-league football for 20 years.
You won't be disappointed.
Yeah, so many characters that I saw there. But you also brought out... You, there were the bad elements of football chairman.
Yeah.
But there
was
also that...
No,
that
I think this is...
Felt.
Yeah, I think so. And I think he comes good, you know. And he does really love the club, you know. And he believes in it. And he wants to see it be a success. And like they all do, you know. They all love the clubs. They wouldn't do it otherwise, you know, and plough all their hard-earned cash into it. I mean, he was taking a lot out, but he put it back when it mattered, and that was and look at where Bromley is today, and it was down to people like him that the club's such a success club again. You know, unfortunately what happened at the final, but they were unlucky, they were very unlucky by all accounts, and, you know, but the club itself is thriving, you know, it's an amazing little stadium down there. And I met the captain of it, met the captain whose father works at Millwall, so there's a lovely South London connection down there, and I'm a South London boy, so I really want, you know, I always look for their results every Saturday, see how they're doing. You know, just come up, middle league, you know, very good, top half of the league, you know, very, very good.
So has it changed your mind about non-league football being involved in
it? No, I still won't go and watch it. I remember going to see Boreham Wood play one day, and they're doing fantastically well. And the guy who bought it, he was
Danny Hunt, a friend of the show.
He had a props firm, didn't he? In the business.
And wants to make one more film, maybe Jamie Foreman will be there.
I'll be there for him any day of the week. And they said to me, oh, come and give us a G because he's over, you know. And I was there and with Angelica Houston. And she was sitting there. I actually turned to her half time. I went, it's not always this bad. It was 1-1 or something. It was the most boring game of football. But look how far they've come. And he's done fantastically well there because he's ploughed his heart and soul into it, which is what these chairmen do, you know. And otherwise, we wouldn't have non-league football and Jamie Vardy. But you know what I mean?
So you're bowing out of the top now as a non-league chairman.
Oh, of course, yeah. Non-league chairman. I've reached the pinnacle of my success. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Jamie.
Oh, that's lovely to talk to you.
Finally, another familiar voice. Formerly a regular of this parish, Mr. Alan Alger, makes a couple of brief but speaking appearances in the film as journalist reporter Tony Flood. Great venue. Great to have a film about non-league football.
It's fantastic to have a film about non-league football. And obviously, Wembley has seen a great set of non-league finals over the last few days, and this has really topped it off.
Now, we don't obviously see you as much in non-league football anymore, but it's passion's still there.
Passion's definitely still there. I try and get to as many games as possible across the season, and obviously still kept in touch, and luckily the people in the film saw that I was still in touch with non-league football and gave me a little part in the film.
And for all non-league fans, it's a bit of an older era when non-league football was slightly different. You know, Hayes Lane looks a lot different from it does here in the film, but any non-league fans are going to enjoy the film.
In fact, Hayes Lane looks so different they had to use somewhere else, and obviously it's a modern era. I mean, you couldn't have even used any of the Bromley players as extras, because as you saw there, everyone's about 15 stone like me. In the actual new era of non-league football, you've got players looking like they play in the Premier League anyway.
But you think it's going to be a great thing for non-league? Get some more people along to their local grounds?
I really do, especially the passionate speech at the end, towards the end of the film. I think what the character Dave actually says towards the end there does sum up non-league football for a lot of people. Why don't you support Arsenal? Why don't you support Man U? Why don't you go down to Tottenham each week? It's because they choose a non-league football club. They get attached to it. And all the things you see in the film are still live in the present day. You can go into the bar, you can speak to the chairman, you can see the players, and that's the good thing about it.
Alan Auger, always a pleasure.
Thanks a lot.
The Bromley Boys, out on general release soon, but as producer TJ Herbert told us a few weeks ago, being first shown in a number of non-league clubs up and down the country. To find out where, check out the official site, www.thebromleyboys.com. That's it for this week and pretty much for this season. Keep an eye out on social media and your usual podcast sources for news in the close season about how and when we will be back. And we will be back bigger and better than ever for the new season. Thanks as ever to all our guests and of course to you for listening this episode and throughout the season. Don't forget you can find us and our back catalogue, 43 shows this season alone, on Audio Boom, also on iTunes, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Thank you, and goodbye. Enjoy your summer.
IBBA JABBA